Hi, this is Jake, and you're listening to the Maywood Listen podcast. This is our first episode, and thought that's been ringing through my head still. We talked about it last time we met, was that comment from Bob in a sermon several weeks ago about independence being the darkest it's been in 34 years that he's been here. And that was in direct response to a conversation he had with a police officer and just all the crazy events we were talking about last time we got together. Obviously, we've realized Maywood has been doing a lot of great things in the last 34 years, but it's challenging to know that there's a lot of darkness around us. And so let's pray as we're starting this podcast. And the point of this podcast is to stir thoughts, stir your thinking to prep for our conversation when we get back together. So when we get back together, we'll be right off the bat discussing kind of what were your takeaways from this podcast and what did it stir up in you as you prayed and thought about these questions. So feel free to have a piece of paper and a pen with you. Feel free to pause as we go and write down thoughts because that's what we're really looking for. We're hoping this spurs you on to some good thinking. So let's pray and invite Jesus to come and teach us. Jesus, I thank you for this team that we're assembling, and I pray that you would guide each one of us as we listen now, but also as we continue to pray, that you would guide our thoughts and our hearts, that you would guide us in how to lead Maywood forward, guide us to who we should be. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So our responsibility is to live up to these vision passages that we have. You know them well, but let's look at them again. It's never bad to look at them. So Matthew 28:18-20 says, when Jesus came to them and said, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. So there's this idea here that we all, as followers of Jesus, have to be going, not just a select few. And the whole purpose of this whole thing we've been given from Jesus, our entire task right now, is to make disciples. And he defines a disciple here as someone who obeys the teachings of Jesus. So that's a broad amount of stuff, but clearly one of the things that he teaches, I mean, right here he's teaching us, is that go and make disciples is one of his teachings. So something that a disciple should be about is obeying Jesus, and one of the ways we obey him is making other disciples. Our next vision passage, Ephesians 4:7-13, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except for that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And I apologize for my voice. I'm still getting over this cold, so my voice is kind of in and out. You guys will be patient with me, please. So right there we see couple of things to point out from the Ephesian passage. All believers are gifted by Jesus, and the leaders of a church have a single task, to equip the people, the followers of Jesus, to use their gifts. So both of these passages we see are very, very active. And to obey these passages, I think we need a paradigm shift. We need to look at reality even differently. Look at what is our goal for people who walk through the doors of Maywood. What is our goal for the people of Maywood? So let me start us off with a scenario. Let's say someone new comes to you. It's maybe at church on Sunday or Wednesday night. And so picture them in your mind. They come up to you. They're brand new to this whole thing, but they're very, very excited, and they're looking to you for advice. Think through, in a little bit of detail, I'm going to give you a little pause here. Think, and feel free to pause for longer if you want. Think through, what are you telling them? What do you push for? They're excited. They're here at church. They want to get started. What do you push for them to do? (Clears throat) there's lots of different things you could push for them to do. And I'm kind of curious to hear what things you guys would push them to do. I mean, some great things, you know, getting them to confess their sins, to understand the basics about who Jesus is and that he's God and that he wants to save them and forgive them and they need to accept him as Lord. I mean, there's lots of different ways you could take it, just basic conversation. But you might have also pushed them about, like, they need to stop doing some sort of sinful thing they're doing. They need to start coming to church more, those sorts of things. But when I think through, you know, the things that we might say and then how maybe Jesus interacted with people that were brand new, I see some differences, because we probably pushed for them to take some stuff out of their life, some evil out of their life, and to start doing some kind of church-centered stuff to separate from their old life and to become safe at Maywood. It's probably some of what we were pushing for them to do. Not saying that's terribly wrong, but think about some examples of how Peter or how Jesus deals with new people when he interacts with them. So the woman at the well, she gets very excited about Jesus after they've talked for a little while, and Jesus sends her to go talk to other people in town about him, you know, and she becomes an evangelist. Even, you know, he doesn't say, it's not that Jesus is co-signing on the sinful way she's been living, but he doesn't wait a long time to put her into active talking to others about him. The man healed of the legion of demons, he wants desperately to spend more time with Jesus, but Jesus says, no, go and talk to other people who know you. Tell them what God did for you. And he goes in the surrounding area. Peter himself, if you look at Luke chapter 5, verse 8 and 10, I'm going to skip around a little bit for just focus's sake, but it says, when Simon Peter saw this, talking about the miraculous catch of fish, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. Then Jesus' next words to him, it talks a little bit more about the catch of fish and who's around, but then in verse 10, Jesus' next words to him are, don't be afraid, for you will fish for people. So right there we see, even with Peter, he's got some giant sin issues, some giant mess in his life. But right off the bat, Jesus is calling him to be a disciple. So it's not just fix your own life. I'm not saying we should push people into leadership faster. I'm not pushing for that. I'm not saying we should make people small group leaders the Sunday they come to church or something. So don't hear me wrong on that. I think, you know, later on in the New Testament, it gives us some wisdom about, you know, appointing people to leadership positions. They need to be some wisdom in how you do that and what their lifestyle is like. But I do want us to note that right off the bat with Jesus, his normal pattern with people is to get them doing things right away, to get them even talking to other people about him right away, or to get them seeing that, like, hey, this isn't just about getting you over sin. This is about making you into a fisher of men. This is about a calling on your life. This is about a whole different way for you to live. It's not just about getting free from your past. It's about a whole new lifestyle. Now, think about Jesus' responses there, and then think back to what you said you would do with a brand new excited person. I want to challenge you today with a quote I came across from David Platt, who is the president of the Southern Baptist Convention's IMB, the International Mission Board. But he has this quote, and it draws out the difference between disinfecting people and discipling people. So I want to read this quote, and we're going to read all the way through it, and then I'm going to break it down kind of piece by piece. So he says, whereas disinfecting Christians involves isolating them and teaching them to be good, discipling Christians involves propelling them into the world to risk their lives for the sake of others. Now, the world is our focus, and we gauge success in the church not on the hundreds or thousands whom we can get into our buildings, but on the hundreds or thousands who are leaving our buildings to take on the world with the disciples they are making. So let's break this quote down from David Platt, and that comes out of his book Radical. So he says, disinfecting Christians is about isolating them, about teaching them to be good. And here at Maywood, a lot of times we celebrate disinfecting, which we should celebrate. When someone gets free from alcohol or gets free from some addiction, when someone stops living with someone they're not married to, or they break free of an old cycle, that is worth celebrating. Like, Jesus has broken a chain. But that's not the end goal. Like, the end goal isn't just to get people cleaned up, isn't just to pull out the bad stuff out of their life, isn't just to get them surrounded by other Christians and listening only to Christian music or something like that. That's not the end goal. The end goal is to get them to be a disciple of Jesus, someone who's impacting the world around them for Jesus. So it's not that disinfecting someone's wrong. Like, a lot of people walk through our doors and they have a lot of sin in their life. And yeah, a big part of being a disciple of Jesus is leaving your sin behind and living it in a different way. So I'm not saying we don't have to push against sin. But our goal isn't just to clean people up and set them on a shelf. You know, it isn't just to give them a Lysol wipe and wipe off all the sin from them and then just put them in a safe case, okay, so that they never get dirty again. Our goal is that they would be so changed by Jesus, they would go back out into the world and change the world. Not that they would go by themselves, that they would go with other people and they would impact other people and it would be a movement of disciples. So the goal at Maywood shouldn't be to disinfect people, shouldn't be to snatch people out of the darkness and just protect them. It should be ultimately to snatch people out of the darkness and make them warriors for the light. Like, make them people who bring light into independence. Now, again, I'm not saying that someone comes in and, that very same day we're sending them back to the dope house they came from to witness or something. I'm not saying that, okay? I'm not saying we are foolish in the way we throw people back into the mix or something. But I am saying, like, look at our goal. Our goal isn't just to break people from their chains. Our goal is for people to be disciples of Jesus, to be people who follow all that Jesus commanded. That includes a holiness aspect. That includes an aspect of not sinning. But it also includes a whole lot of active aspects. A lot of what Jesus taught was active stuff. It was loving our enemies. It wasn't just not hating them. It was actually doing good for them, blessing people who curse us, taking care of other people, you know, visiting people, feeding people, teaching people. There's all sorts of stuff, but a lot of what Jesus taught was very, very active. So this first podcast, what I want you to be thinking about is, like, is your goal in your mind when you think about Maywood, is it about just cleaning people up, or is it about discipling them? Is it about transformation, that they become something, someone who's impacting things? And so, like the woman at the well, like the guy who was possessed by the legion of demons, like Peter, there's this idea that right from the start, our goal is that they go have an impact. Our goal is that they become the type of person who can become a fisher of men or fisher of people. So here's some questions I want you to ponder. Feel free to pause. Feel free to write down answers, because I want us to talk through this stuff when we meet together again. So think about your experiences at Maywood, people you've known. Who have you seen come to Maywood, get cleaned up from some sin or some problems, but then they just slow fade out the back door? Like, there wasn't something here to capture their whole life long term. They got here because they had big problems, and once they got those big problems cleaned up, they didn't stay for some sort of calling. They just faded out. Can you think of specific people like that? Or maybe, you know, Kathy Verbrugge got a chance to be help out with a sermon a while back, and she used this idea of people who sit and soak and sour. That if we don't pour what God's put in us to other people, that eventually we sour, that we get gross, basically, you know, that the good stuff inside of us, if it just sits there, it's not a good thing, you know. So who have you seen at Maywood? And I'm not pushing this for like a judgment. I'm not going to have you turn in names. But I do think it's good for you on a personally to face that these are real people. You know, picture the real people in your mind, because that's ultimately who we're talking about impacting. They're all real people. So who have you seen potentially at Maywood? Maybe they've been here a long time. Maybe they're still here at Maywood. But they have come in, they've received from God, but they have sat and they've soaked up some good stuff, but they've just sat with it and they've soured. Like, the good that's been put in them isn't flowing out to other people. In fact, it's losing its freshness because they're just sitting with it. now on the positive side, because again, Maywood, you know, our first meeting, we talked a lot about the negative, and we are at a time of change, and so it's easier to talk about the negative because we're wanting to propel ourselves further. But the reality is there's lots of positive going on at Maywood. Anytime we're talking about any of these topics, like, Maywood's doing a lot of great things. And I want to give a moment for that too. Like, who are you seeing? Because there's some of this at the church already. Who are you seeing who are leaving, to quote from David Platt, who are leaving our building to take on the world with the disciples they're making? I do believe that's true at Maywood too. There's some people who are already caught this vision. They are not just here to get disinfected. They're here to be discipled, and they are going out into the world and making a difference. So picture some of those people in your mind too, and what their story is, and how maybe they have been different than these other people who slow faded out or who are sitting and soaking in sour. What's the difference here? Maybe the difference is just that individual's obedience, their individual faithfulness. Maybe it's God's calling on their life. But maybe they were invested in or pushed or challenged differently too. So think through that. And that last idea of thinking through, like, maybe what's the difference between these people who are really becoming disciples of Jesus and these people who are just getting a little cleaned up or just sitting and soaking and souring. Do you think we could change the structure of the church at all to help more people get into that final category, more people be propelled to make an impact in the community for Jesus? Well, what would it look like for us as a church to produce more disciples? So those are some questions. Hopefully this stirs your thinking. Like, I don't want to come to you guys with all the answers. I just want to stir some thinking. So as you've listened to this today, hopefully it's pushed you to think and then go with those thoughts. We're going to come back together as a group and discuss kind of where all this prodding pushed your thinking. So be in prayer, be listening to Jesus, and write some stuff down too. Bring your notes with you, and we'll talk over it the next time we meet. Thank you, guys. God bless.